Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 251. It's another FAB preview, folks. Week 13 FAB is on the horizon for you. Basically, it depends if you're a half glass, half empty, half full. Is this the halfway point of the fantasy baseball season? Because it's 27 weeks. We're real close to that number. So we'll get you ready with our normal schedules, most added, two steps, and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bluefield. How are we doing, my friend?
I am good. It is U.S. Open week. It is Father's Day weekend. Happy preemptive sure. Father's Day to you, my friend.
You as well.
It is Aaron Civale's birthday. Like, this is the best time of year.
It's his birthday, and he's almost getting divorced on the same day. It's pretty, like, to his team. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he was like, what? You know a lot about Civale.
You have no idea. But, yeah, it's a good time of the year. The U.S. Open was pure carnage, as expected, but also, as a lot of the guys said, very playable if you didn't screw up at the same time. So that's kind of the test of golf you want, and that's what made it good. So
made me want to go grab the sticks and head out, but we'll do that next weekend.
Oh, good. So at least you already have something in play, so that's good. Good to hear.
Something to look forward to.
Good, good. Yeah, but everything else is good, hopefully, to those that are celebrating Father's Day as well, are going to enjoy themselves this weekend, hopefully, with whatever you choose to do along the way. But we are here to get you ready for your weekend fab that you might have to do early because of Father's Day. Keep that in mind as you're doing things.
Yeah, and, that's honey, what do you want to do for Father's Day? Give me an hour and a half for fab.
Want silence for an hour and a half. I'll be back later.
Granted, I do kind of want an hour and a half silence to watch the back nine, at least of Oakmont, but I don't know about fab. We'll see.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair. But all right, let's get to it. Let's get to the fab. But first, let's get to some news and notes. And it's another kind of busy news and notes day. First off, Jacob, I probably butchered it, but Mizorowski is how I'm saying it.
Sure.
Made his MLB debut for the Milwaukee Brewers. 5 shutout, no-hit innings, but 4 walks and 5 strikeouts, for the point you made on the last show from Martin Sokolsky. Said command could be an issue with the kid, but he's electric. All things held up there. But then left in the 6th inning with cramping in his quad and calf region. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, didn't he, like, hurt his ankle or something on the mound?
Yeah, he caught his spike on the mound, twisted his ankle. Now they're calling it cramping in his calf and ankle injury, dual injury.
Either way, doesn't sound too bad. I do think, I mean, assuming health-wise, it does sound like Mizorowski is going to be pricey just because he's like a pretty much consensus top 30 prospect. He's got the stuff, but I think most importantly, at least for fab price, he had a good debut. Right. So that is going to up the fab price. You know me, I'm an old man. Actually, I did get Jack Caglione in a bunch of leagues last week, so I just don't have much money left in some leagues. So I will be very tepid with my Mizorowski bids. I just think the walk rate is something that is going to be a major problem for him, at least initially, with different strike zones, better hitters that he's facing. So that to me is the big bugaboo for Mizorowski. It's been, the walk rate has quote unquote technically improved from pretty much 14% throughout Mizorowski's minor league career down to 12% this year. So it's like very minor improvement and still a bad walk rate. So the K's will be there. I just don't know how deep Mizorowski is going to be able to pitch into games. Workload wise, like, he kind of looks okay. 97 innings last year. He's at 63 this year. So you maybe think, what, 120, 130, something like that. So I don't know. It's pitching in 15 teamers, I say every week, is tough. So I can see the bids getting high and I can see people going after it. It's just that I like to see better command. Especially the first time up.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll be a little tepid on it as well. He is at Wrigley Field next Wednesday, which is not always great. Okay. Following week, though, he gets Pittsburgh and Colorado in a two-step, which is nice. Very nice. But you got to get to that Cubs start and hope things are all good to go for Mizorowski. But yeah, very solid debut. Lots of good things to take away from it, but also we will put the grain of salt on. The command is definitely looking like a potential problem with
the and like it's the Brandon Woodruff thing. If the most cursed rehab attempt of all time finally goes to fruition, if Woodruff ever returns, is Mizorowski the one who's out?
Well, you got Chad Patrick, you got Quinn Priester, that neither one's really had a large workload either. So there's a lot of options there, and God forbid we get our boy Henderson back up someday, like Logan Henderson, yeah. God forbid. But that might actually be a workload thing, all things considered. All right, Kodai Senga, he was pitching well on Thursday before leaving the game with a hamstring injury. He's going to get more testing on Friday, going to go an MRI on Friday. Looked pretty bad. He looked like he was in some pretty good pain there on that one. So I'm thinking it's a pretty good IL stint coming up. I don't know if it's Kodai Senga level IL stint, but it feels like it could be headed that direction.
Definitely does. It's a bummer. Senga was pitching extremely well this season. We talked about Senga on the Tuesday show, pitching, I think, well over his head from a skills perspective, but still, you had the stats, you banked that excellent. You wait and see what happens with Senga there. We thinking Frankie Montas? Is it like a one-on-one timing here? Because Montas is building up at AAA through 76 pitches, Syracuse, yes, on Sunday. So I don't think Montas is far away at all. So it could just be Montas in.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. His last rehab start was scheduled for Friday when you're probably listening to this show. Do they let him pitch that and then come back next week? Or do they say, nope, he's ready to join the rotation for Senga now? At the same time, the Mets were going with a six-man rotation, so now they're back to five. So we'll see how that plays out. Either way, Montas is close, to your point. That is definitely – and Sean Manaea is about 3 to 4 rehab starts away, so he's like into June, early July also. So they have reinforcements coming, which will help. But Montas seems to be the, on paper, quote-unquote, easiest replacement coming that direction.
Who I liked early in draft season.
Oh, yeah. I've always been a Team Montas guy. Big fan.
That's right. You talked me into him.
Yep. Bastard. You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Great tip. Yeah, appreciate it.
Can't predict. I'm not Dr. Dave. I cannot predict injuries with these guys. But yes. Isak Paredes, just a heads up, left the Thursday's game with a hamstring injury as well. He's going to undergo an MRI on Friday. The Astros said Paredes tried to convince them to let him stay in the game. Yeah, we all feel like that when our adrenaline's high. So we'll see how the MRI shakes out on Friday. I'd expect him to at least miss a game or two over the weekend before coming back, if not going to the IL. So something to monitor on that. He's swinging it well, too. Cole Reagans. This goes from bad to worse. Bad to worse is the best way I can put this. We know on Wednesday, Reagans went on the IL with a rotator cuff shoulder injury. On Thursday, they said they're waiting the results of an MRI, and Reagans is going to seek a second opinion. That's not great. There was word in the Discord that someone listening to the Royals broadcast said the Royals were saying he's going to miss at least 4 to 6 weeks, potentially longer. So this is just not good at all. It's just, if that second opinion thing always tells me basically like, okay, yep, we can just kind of put this one and chalk it up to a massive problem.
Massive problem. Nothing you're going to do right now if you have Reagan's, just hope for the best. But anytime these second opinion things happen, we kind of know where it goes. So it sucks. It totally sucks for Cole Reagans, owners, and you, I know, Bubba, were one who was heavily invested in Reagans. So it's tough. It's going to be Noah Cameron time for a longer amount of time, right? We thought Cameron would be booted once Reagans was back. So now Noah Cameron gets to see out his 2.17 ERA rise up to a 4 over the next few starts, I think, at least. Like, the K's haven't been there. Right. The whiffs are okay. So it's funny, like, everyone was kind of fading Noah Cameron and heading into his last start at the Yankees, even though he had like a sub 150 ERA or something. And yeah, I think we all see the writing on the wall with Cameron, who's more of like, I mean, I'm not trying to like bag on him too much, but more of just like a back end guy. Yes. And not anywhere near a 2 ERA for sure.
And the problem is next week Cameron's scheduled to be at San Diego, and the following week is against the Dodgers. So you're probably not rostering Noah Cameron anytime soon. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, you're probably benching him for those.
Yep. And the worst part about the Cole Reagans deal is we talked about him Tuesday on the Bloom Board, and I'm like, I don't feel good about him right now. I just don't feel good about it. And then the next morning, yep, boom goes the dynamite. So
where were you with Montas on that?
Well, at least I got to got the rewards of Reagan's for like a month and a half before that took place. Yeah. Jackson Joe, we kind of thought this was coming when he first went on the IL with the flexor strain. Jackson Joe was going to have season-ending Tommy John surgery. Not a whole lot we could talk about there. Just wanted to bring that to light for those that maybe did not notice. Last but not least here, Christian Moore of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Your guy.
I just wrote about him, but also in the preseason, I was like, this is the dude that could be the dark horse that gets a shot here. So I have some DCs that are pumped at the moment. Christian Moore, first round pick of the Angels in 2024. He's 20 years old, played at Tennessee, tons of power, plays second base. He struggled at Double A this year, gets called to Triple A to start destroying baseballs again, like people expected him to do. And he's basically should, we'll see what the Angels do, take over second base because Chris Taylor went on the IL with the broken hand. Scott Kingery thinks he seems better if like it's just like a super util guy. He can play second, short, third, outfield. Christian Moore should get run if they're calling him up, and I'm hoping he does.
I would think he gets run. It's interesting with Christian Moore, though. Like, even though he did hit a lot better at AAA, it was the same strikeout rate. It's a 27% K rate at both levels this season. Like, that kind of worries me, but kind of always say with hitters, like that, I think the biggest thing with prospects is what is the playing time outlook. I think that's most important. I think Moore has the job and will play regularly. So I don't want to say go get Christian Moore because I don't know. Like I feel like the first transition to major league pitching could be rough here, given that the plate skills, the swing and miss is there. But someone who I certainly, if I need a middle infield, I would have in my conditionals or even prioritize if you want to shoot for a higher ceiling.
Yeah, that's like I've had three or four people like immediately hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah,
immediate ad, all these things, and I'm like, well, do you want Jonathan India or Moore? I'm like, well, India plays every day. I think Moore's better, but India plays every day.
So you didn't fall for the once the prospect gets called up, all caps, immediate ad tweet.
No,
it's not you.
I really want to say yes because I think he is that talented, but I'm also realistic. It is going to take time to work. So if you have a Brandon Lau, some of these guys are actually producing, you don't just drop them for Christian Moore. Like,
correct.
Like once out of every maybe 20 times it works out for you. Otherwise it's going to be some slow going in that.
But
that
if you have I'll even say Luis Rengifo.
We yeah,
go to the same team.
Michael C mentions in the chat here. Yes.
Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah, if only I drafted more in all the draft and holds where I took Renifo. Like if you have a kind of a semi dead spot at middle infield, yeah, go for it. Like you said, Christian Moore at AAA, like the hard contact was better. It's a 575 slug, 10% barrel rate, like almost 90 mile an hour exit velocity.
Where are you getting all those stats at, Ryan?
Oh, that, you know, I'm not going to self-promote too much, but Patreon.
Ryan's utilizing the minor league leaderboard that he produces for the Patreon. So that's because I use those exact numbers when I wrote about more for the
PT. I can tell when I read your stuff over there, it's like anything that has a barrel rate in there or something. Yeah. It's like,
Hey, I've told you since the first week I started doing that call, I'm like, your minor league leaderboard.
It's good stuff. It's got the stat cast in there. I mean, it's I use it for like, because we all look at Fangraphs for minor league stuff, but it's for me, it's so hard to find like the numbers that I care about in one spot and then to add Statcast on top of it. And then I color code some of the really important ones. Like that's all in the minor
league. And it's also you get his AA and AAA right there. So it's not just like a conglomerate or whatever. You get a little bit of both. So, and then I really like it for pitching. Like pitching helps a ton with that one. So, yes, I will promote it for you that it's, I knew exactly what you're reading off of. That's why I was like, oh, come on. But yes, Christian Moore, I'm very excited. Temper, like here's an example. You mentioned Rengifo. Like if you're still doing Fitzpatrick for the Giants, I give Moore a shot.
Yeah.
Like kind of that kind of level of situation.
Mount Massey.
Oh, that should have been gone a long time ago. That ship should have sailed, buddy.
Mount Massey hit the IL this week.
I must say, yeah, it's like not to mention he's on the IL. But yeah, you could. That's a dormant mountain right there, folks. You can throw that one to the curb at this point.
He went St. Helens on us. So
yeah, but there's those type of scenarios. Like, see where the dust settles, but there are going to be avenues to using him. All right. Well, that does it, though. Let's head.
Off stage, my bad. We're back.
Yeah, you kicked us off. Let's head to the Fab preview here and let us know what we're looking at for week 13.
All right, week 13. All right, thanks for the banner. What we're looking at is we have God, I am all messed up. We have current week. Let's go to next week. That's what we're here to analyze. We've got a bunch of teams with seven games, which is nice. No teams with five games. There has not been a five-game schedule maybe once this whole year, a five-game week. So that's nice. But, yeah, your Orioles, Yankees, Rays get seven games in the AL East. Athletics, Astros, Angels get seven games out West. A's all at home. Absolutely. Great pull. Marlins, Phillies, Nationals, seven games. Rockies, Dodgers, Padres, all seven games. So good news. Ton of baseball. The A's are all at home, and I think the Reds are all at home.
Yes, they are.
As well for six.
Six of them. And the Rockies get three at home.
Rockies get three at home. Yeah. Easiest schedule by strikeout minus walk belongs to the Washington Nationals, who unsurprisingly host the Colorado Rockies for four games.
Wait, my friend, I think you are wrong on that one.
Did we miss? We got something lower than nine. St. Louis.
Cardinals.
Nine. Wow.
Get the White Sox. And then then they get Cincinnati at home. Cincinnati's at home for only three. Sorry. They're not at home all week.
Yeah. So Cardinals and Nats, your easiest schedules of the week.
Man, they get Singer, Wade Miley, and Andrew Abbott. That'll be interesting. And the Giants have like the third easiest. Wow, this is some pitching's getting so bad right now. Just looking at this board,
they're all dying. I mean, there's
going to be no, that's what I'm saying. It's so bad. It's a lot of green on these boards compared to early on. This is rough.
It's not just our fantasy teams feeling the heat.
No, it's the major leagues, folks. They're all chipping away at it. But let's get back to our normal routine here. We'll start at the AL East, so I don't completely.
Dude, I was so thrown off last week.
Yes,
it was a good idea to do NL first, but like, whew.
Yeah, I'm a creature of habit, so we got to get back to reality here. The Baltimore Orioles, they have seven games coming up this week, all on the road. Four at Tampa, which is a great place to play. So we didn't even mention the Tampa Bay Rays. They play all seven at home, so that's a plus as well. And then three at the New York Yankees, one lefty and six righties for the Baltimore Orioles, who are getting healthy. Kierstead, minor leagues. Cedric Mullins is back. Westberg's back, crushing baseballs again. They're starting to look like the offense we expected before. And your boy Adley's starting to swing it, as he made a mechanical change at the plate, and he's not toe-tapping anymore. So what's your thoughts on this O's situation?
It's a great week for this is more of a start-sit type of thing, but any lefty on the O's, right, just because it is at Tampa, at Yankee Stadium, you've got the short porch in both spots there. So that is all systems go for Ryan O'Hearn and Cedric Mullins, who returned from the IL this week. Jordan Westberg also returned from the IL. It's more just kind of catching up on news. I still like Ramon Laureano, though. I don't know what happens when Tyler O'Neill comes back.
I don't know when he's coming back, though.
Yeah,
The latest news I saw today was, like, when I wrote about him in Tuesday, he was supposed to be back this weekend after a couple deals. But now he played two games, and he's going to be shut down and reevaluated for 3 days before maybe played more. It gets weird, really weird.
Maybe Ramon Laureano gets another good week of run. So we'll see. Other thing I was going to bring up, I don't want to get too far into the weeds here, but I'm wondering if the O's are going to trade Felix Bautista 15 games out. Like, that would seem to be something that they might entertain. I think for fantasy, we might want to look at, and this is just long-term stash to kind of look ahead at, but like Brian Baker, or if healthy, if he stays healthy, Andrew Kittredge, who was thought to be kind of in the mix as well. So Brian Baker, Andrew Kittredge, again, need to be very, very desperate for saves, and this is a longer-term play, but I could see those two. Baker's pitched really well this season, filling in for Bautista in the ninth if Bautista is traded. And again, I think the Orioles should entertain it. This is a lost season for them.
Completely agree. That's something to definitely keep an eye on as things move along in the coming weeks. Maybe next week. You never know. Some teams might get aggressive early, to your point. Boston Red Sox, they have six games this week, all on the road at the Seattle Mariners, and then they head to the Bay to face the San Francisco Giants. I have tickets to that Saturday game.
Oh, nice. You do?
Yeah, first game of the year. Yep, going to take the little one to go watch some Red Sox-Giants. One lefty, five righties on tap. The one lefty be Robbie Ray on Sunday. So it looks like I got Landon Roop in that one, which Landon Roop versus Bayo. Oh, good God. good God.
Gee, not like you really know how to pick him.
Good. Well, when you buy it in preseason, you're crossing your fingers. But yeah, what do you got for this one? One lefty, five righties, and we have some guy got called up this past week. I don't know if he's really worth a roster spot, but he got called up.
Who? Oh, Roman Anthony.
Yeah.
Where have I been? Yeah, but that, I mean, fab wise, he's gone. I don't really have too much here. Marcelo Meyer started to get going a little bit, which is nice, though he's kind of just playing against righties. It is a 5-game week. Wanted to ask you about Abraham Toro, who I still can't really get behind, but is hitting third every day for the Red Sox, is only 10% rostered in NFBC 12 teamers. Like, I don't think the power is very good, but like it is a 14%, a really good strikeout rate, almost league average power, I guess. Like, I think we already missed Abraham Toro's best stretch, but if you're playing every day in third in Red Sox lineup,
you can I'm all about it. I rostered Toro a ton last year. He used to laugh at me when I said, "Oh, it's the weakest Toro for the A's." Yeah. His skill set works in this, especially at a position where it's gotten better with some of the call-ups at first base, but for first base, corner infield, while he's swinging it well on a week with five righties, I don't see why not. Especially 15s, he should be heavily rostered, but in 12s, I definitely think that's an avenue to go to. I'm glad you kind of came to your senses on that one. That's good to hear. Did want to comment, though. It'll be in the news and notes that drops tonight for the Patreon folks. The Red Sox revealed that Rafael Devers is playing through a groin injury. So keep that one in mind if something gets fishy there.
Yeah.
I like the Toro call. I like that one quite a bit. And to those playing in NFBC OCs, Marcelo Meyer is only 69% rostered. So he's still out there in a handful of leagues if you go digging for him. I don't think there's anything else. I did want to look at the rotation because Giolito's looked better, Buehler looked better, but not sure if that, like Hunter Dobbins is out there, but I don't think it's worth a whole lot. New York Yankees, 7 games coming up this week, all in the Bronx, 4 against the Angels, 3 against the Orioles, 2 lefties, 5 righties. Feels like most Yankees are probably rostered.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing from this past week was, I mean, it sounds like Giancarlo Stanton could be back as soon as next week.
Yeah, which, weirdly enough, yes.
Weirdly enough, which I don't know if it's as much of a Giancarlo Stanton thing as it is a Ben Rice thing.
It's because a gigantic Ben Rice thing, yes.
Yeah, one of the fallouts of that is they said the Yankees could not move Ben Rice to catcher, but get more appearances at catcher. I think he's already got 5. So Ben Rice could be catcher eligible, already is in some leagues. But in the 10-game threshold leagues, Ben Rice could be catcher eligible, which would be massive. I still don't, I guess, look at Stanton and Fab, but like, I don't know what this guy's going to look like, man. So that's what I have there.
It sucks, too, because I know it's only double A, but he's actually swinging it really well. But it's,
Stanton is?
Yeah, he's playing well right now in his rehab. Imagine, so
I mean, imagine Stanton in double A.
Oh, dude. And there's a picture of the, cause, you know, minor leagues have all the cool, like, well, some might think cool, some might think stupid, like promotion games with different jerseys and stuff. Today was Margaritaville. So they had like this, like palm tree shirts and stuff. You see him out there wearing it. That's freaking hilarious. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. But yeah, Ben Rice, to my concern is it a strict platoon or is like, Stanton actually going to play, you know, 80% of the time like he used to at DH? And if that's the case, is Ben Rice rosterable? That's where it gets tricky for me, at least in 12s. Like that, his playing time's already been annoying enough. Like if he starts now losing DH at best to Stanton, this gets really kind of concerning to me, honestly.
Yep, agreed. So,
yeah. All right, something to monitor on that one. And then also for you Marcus Stroman fans out there, he threw a rehab start this past week. He's got about 2 to 3 more to go, but he's quote-unquote on the mend. And so is Luke Weaver.
So yeah, that's the other one I actually wanted to bring up because that's so big. Like that's much more important than Marcus Stroman.
You're welcome.
For you Marcus Stroman fans out there.
In 15-team leagues, you mentioned pitching's tough. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, but yeah, Weaver looks – all reports look really good. He said his hamstring is he doesn't even feel his hamstring anymore. So the Yankees are going to have a decision to make whether to put Weaver back in the 9th or not. Devin Williams has looked good, got another save tonight. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but just if you have Devin Williams, be prepared. Maybe start looking at other closers in Fab for a plan B, because it is certainly possible Weaver comes back and takes back the ninth. I don't know, but I'm just alerting the people to the possibility.
Yeah, I think there's a strong chance. Like, I don't want him to, but he was so dominant before he got hurt that it's like, I think they might actually do something along those. And to Pat Monahan's point here, Marcus Stroman fans equal Marcus Stroman. That is probably pretty darn accurate to that. Yes. Tampa Bay Rays, they have 7 games this week, all at the friendly single-A confines in Tampa. It's all right-handed pitchers, and that bodes well for platoons, but most of those platoon guys are rostered.
Most, but we hear a bunch from, you know, our buddy Doc. He's in a 10-team league and kind of daily moves. Like, he has asked us about Brandon Lau. Any lefty in Tampa this week is just awesome because of the 7 righties, and it's all at home. So, like, the park plays well for lefties, and you get the 7 righties, and yeah, it's just all goodness. So Josh Lowe, Brandon Lau, Jonathan Rand, again, all pretty much universally rostered, like you said. I'd even go for some Cameron Meisner, who hasn't been that great lately. But I mean, this is like a dream schedule. So in 15s, I could see conditionally going for Meisner.
And on the flip side, I would throw out there, starting the likes of Shane Boz and Zach Lytle this week would not make me feel comfortable in those ballparks. So,
yeah,
just throwing that out there. They're not auto starts by any means for me.
Yeah, because Baltimore hits righties quite well.
And Detroit is hot.
And Detroit is just a good team in general. So, agreed. Yep. Good call.
Toronto Blue Jays, they have 6 games coming up this week, all at home versus Arizona and the White Sox. 1 lefty and 5 righties. Toronto is on fire, if people have not paid attention. Offense has gotten better. They're winning a ton of baseball games right now. So it's a team you don't really want to just throw your starters against unless you're pretty confident in them. And they have a nice set of games this week. Ernie Clement's banged up, so keep an eye on that if you're planning on playing him. But other than that, I'll give you the floor because most of the important guys feel rostered, but I know there's a couple still available.
I guess, but I think I don't know the guys that are still available. I don't really see much there unless you have somebody.
Nah, probably not. Cause yeah, people have wisened up. Barger's even 99% now.
Yeah. That's long gone. Clement's
24%. That's disappointing.
Yeah. That is disappointing, isn't it?
It's a lot of fantasy production getting left on the bench, folks. Just throwing it out there.
It is. Who was I going to, Max Scherzer.
Yes.
I don't know when he's actually going to come back, but he was cleared to start a rehab. So
yes,
let's see how it goes. Like, this guy, he's falling apart. But if Max Scherzer does get through his rehab, I mean, this could be a decent week if you've got a spot for, you know, a week or two, maybe get Scherzer for a buck or something. But I wouldn't have the highest expectations.
Yeah, I wouldn't have the highest expectations too. But at the same point, I agree. If you can stash, this is the week to do it and see where the cookies crumble. Chicago White Sox, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Cardinals, 3 at the Toronto Blue Jays. White Sox are starting to play a little better as well. Kyle Teal has got things going. Mydroth and Talkman hit another home run on Thursday. 1 lefty, 5 righties. So I'll start there. Get your Talkman, Mike Talkman, on your radar.
Yeah, you'll have 5 games of Talkman, who's leading off against righties, so that's nice. And I was going to make that exact point, Bubba. Like, this, we have done a weekly exercise of stream against the White Sox. Over the last month, they've been team WRC plus is like 91-92, which
close to is, average.
I mean, it's slightly below average, but it's certainly not auto start anybody against them. So I don't know. Like, the pitcher's going against the White Sox, Liberatore, he's banged up.
Yeah,
Sonny Gray, you're starting anyway. Eric Fede, Bowden Francis. I don't think I'd auto start Bowden Francis against the White Sox. So, then Barrios, Ambassador, widely rostered. So, just wanted to throw that one out there. Is just trying to check ourselves and not, you know, kind of adapt to how some of these teams are hitting. The White Sox haven't been that bad lately.
Yeah. So Talkman and Benintendi would be 2 guys I would definitely look at. I like Talkman more than Benintendi, but both are on the radar this week for sure. Pitching wise, they're still not good. Shane Smith's about all they got, so you got that going for you. What about their new young gun they called up in Grant Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, is he supposed to be like the closer
Everyone say he has closer potential. I just don't know if we'll see it.
Right. Like, I just a maybe closer on a team that doesn't win games. Like, I'm not interested in Grant Taylor.
Fair enough, my friend. All right, Cleveland Guardians. They have six games coming up this week, all on the road. Three at the Giants, three at the A's, three lefties, three righties. Makes things very complicated.
Very complicated. Tough week, too. I mean, I mentioned this last week, I believe, but the Kyle Manzardo, David Fry platoon, really tough to roll with Kyle Manzardo right now. Just not playing against lefties.
I dropped him last week, I think. Pretty sure I did. Yeah.
I got him in maybe the listener league. That would be fitting for that team. Holding on to him, but it's a 15 teamer. But yeah, they're certainly not, like, I want to say Manzardo was an auto start earlier in the year, but it was someone who I had in regularly and now he's not playing. So yeah, split through 3 week, tough to really start anybody who isn't, you know, Quan, J Ram, your guy Carlos Santana. I don't have much. Yes. I don't have much with this crew.
Yeah, it's a rough look in Cleveland when it comes to streaming for the week. Team's still playing good, so don't get me wrong there. You have any interest in a Slade Ciccone? Are you buying into this now that we've seen it for a few weeks? And this week, Slade is set to face, I guess, a two-step we'll talk about, at the Giants and at the A's.
I like the at Giants.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Ciccone's looked okay. It's just it's a lot of fly balls, which that A start scares me. Mm-hmm. But it's also a lot of whiffs, 26% strikeout rate, 13% swinging strike. Like that's Slade Ciccone is certainly, I would say, streamable in 12s and probably starting most of the time in 15s. And that's better than I at least originally thought Slade Ciccone would be this year.
Yeah, 46% rostered in OCs right now, so pretty widely available. If he's over 50%, he will be in the fab column this weekend for the Patreons. Let's head to Detroit. They have six games this week, three at home versus Pittsburgh, three at the Tampa Bay Rays. Good series overall. So you have Pittsburgh, and then you get that three games in Tampa we've talked about. Those are all three righties, by the way, in Tampa over the weekend for you Wensiel Perez lovers out there. Two lefties and four righties for the Tigers, so where are you targeting?
Yeah, probably a good half week for Wensiel Perez. Not playing regularly against lefties, so I don't know about the Monday, Thursday there. I don't have too much. The Dingler. Dingler's hitting well at catcher, but like in two catcher leagues, he's already rostered. So I don't. Parker Meadows hit his first homer today, which is nice to see. I think first homer, maybe second. Either way, nice to see him go deep. I don't really have much on the Tigers. Yeah.
There's not much. It's a good team that's getting healthy. Like, I'll say Keith Colt is going to tear at the plate, not with power, but for batting average. If it's something you are interested in, he's only 54% rostered. So if you, and, you know, deeper formats, but it's an Ernie Clement profile. Yep. Is the way I'll say it before Ryan can beat me to the punch there. But
it's not a good profile.
Yeah, there you go. But he is hitting pretty well, so I'll throw that one out there.
I do have I don't have an update, but like Reese Olson just threw a bullpen, but I read the note a little deeper and Reese Olson did not throw his changeup because he couldn't.
Wait. This time around? When was that report from?
I don't know. It was the most recent one, I think, on RotoWire.
Yeah, that's an old one. That was the one he's scheduled to throw a bullpen on Friday. It was either Thursday or Friday, and it'll be the first time he can throw all of his pitches.
This was last Saturday.
Yeah, that sounds about right. He couldn't.
And that's 5 days ago for me. That's recent news.
Yeah, that shows you how much he reads my content, folks. Reese Olson was in last night's news and notes column on the Patreon talking about this upcoming bullpen where he could throw all of his pitches for the first time. So you got that going for you. All right. But yeah, Reese Olson could be back in a couple of weeks to Ryan's probably initial point along the line.
I must have just glanced over the Reese Olson.
You went straight to Freddie Freeman. That's all you did. You went straight to Freddie Freeman in that column.
The Tin Man.
Yep. Kansas City Royals, they have six games coming up this week. Three at the Texas Rangers, three at the San Diego Padres, one lefty and five righties. It's a shame the mounts on the IL because you'd be tempted, Ryan. But other than that, it's pretty standard procedure now when it comes to the Kansas City Royals.
Yep. Ditto. I was going to mention Noah Cameron, but we mentioned that at the top with the Cole Reagans injury. So I don't have anything on the Royals this week.
And that Cameron schedule scares me. So like, I like his skill set. I know we all agree he's going to regress and it might come fast the next 2 weeks. Minnesota Twins, they have 6 games this week, 3 in Great American Small Park, 2 lefties, 1 righty in that series. Keep that in mind. And then 3 at home versus Milwaukee. It's a total of 3 lefties and 3 righties on the week.
Which makes it tough for Trevor Larnach. Might make it tough for your guy, for Wallner. Yeah. Did not start against a lefty on Thursday, so I don't know if that's just a day off or if that's actually a platoon, but tough week for him.
Yep, very tough week. Your boy Ty France is on an OBP machine streak right now. Just want to throw that one out there. He's reaching base at a rate. It's a really good clip, so keep that going. Are you David Festa, Simeon Woods Richardson? Are we dropping Bailey Ober? Millions of questions with this team right now.
I made the Bailey Ober Aaron Nola comp in the Discord earlier today.
That might be rude to Aaron Nola right now.
Yeah, it's really bad. But I mean, where I'm going with that is just it's good. Traditionally, good strikeout rates, good walk rates. You look at those level of skills, it's good. But just the home runs just destroy Bailey Ober and Aaron Nola. So no, I don't think Bailey Ober is a drop, but you gotta wait it out. I have him in tout. I will probably bench him next week if I get better options. Do you think Simeon Woods Richardson? I mean, David Festa was added last week, so like. I don't know. Not that good, though. Simeon Woods Richardson.
Festa's 41% rostered, by the way.
Is he? That's it. I like him too much. Festa's next two starts are at Small Park and then at home at against the Brewers.
Yeah, Simeon Woods 4% rostered. I'm not rostering him either. So you can roster Festa. I could see the appeal. He always looked decent versus the Rangers in his start 2 days ago, but I'm so concerned about the workload management with that team. It's annoying.
Yep. Agreed.
The Sacramento Athletics, they have 7 games this week, all at home in Sacramento, 4 against Houston, 3 against Cleveland, 2 lefties, 5 righties. And hat tip to you, my friend, Muncy looks good.
Yeah, that's who I was going to. I kind of just mentioned him in passing last week. And really, I didn't prioritize Muncy that much just because last week was there were bigger fish.
You were. Never mind. I'll bite my tongue there. Yes. Okay. Never mind.
But Matt, I mean, Muncy's still widely available, and I 3%. Think, yeah, with a good week that he's had this week, with an all home week, I think Max Muncy is like probably the only Athletic that's fabable this week because all the good A's are taken. Luis Urias, Willie MacGyver, Denzel Clark.
What about MacGyver? You don't want to get him MacGyver?
I do not. I do not. Denzel Clark for. How great that catch was. My guy's running a 55% strikeout rate right now. So bad. So it's not good. But no, Max Muncy, I mean, I mentioned again last week, I mentioned the strong numbers in the minors, the power, and that looks good so far. So if you need middle infield, like definitely Max Muncy.
Yep, definitely. I want to hat tip you on that one because every time he did something good, I'm like, God, Ryan was all over that one. And I didn't prioritize him either. So that, a bummer, but we'll see. Big week ahead in Sacramento. Houston Astros, they have 7 games this week, 4 at Sacramento, 3 at the Angels. It's 3 lefties and 4 righties. Sacramento's scheduled to be 2 lefties, 2 righties. Really hope Isak Paredes is healthy if you have him because that is what you want this week. But yep. Outside of that, what are you looking at with Houston? Because I swear to God, if Isak misses time and they still don't play Shea Whitcomb, we riot.
Yeah, I was going to poke the bear with the Shea Whitcomb reference because, I mean, if Paredes, if the injury is something, I would think.
On paper, yes, but why would you call the guy a destroying AAA? He's played 1 game.
Correct. I don't get it.
I don't get it at all.
Can't explain it. I was in on Jacob Melton last week. Actually did pick up Jacob Melton in a few leagues. He got 3 steals so far. But it's with a 40% strikeout rate. Like there were a lot of K's in the minors there. So I can't hate on Denzel Clark without doing something similar with Jacob Melton. But I don't know. We'll probably either drop him or, well, it all depends in 15 teamers. But you could look at Jacob Melton if you need steals.
Yes, you definitely can. Colton Gordon, not going to start him against the Athletics, but keep him on your radar. Still looks very good. Brandon Walter is the one I want to discuss. He gets the Angels next week. Walter's a lefty, really good command, like K to walk numbers, low ratios in the minors. Looked pretty good in his first outing. And now he gets an Angels team that does struggle versus left-handed pitching. So Walter could be an interesting stream.
Agreed. Is Houston staying with this six man going forward?
Yes. Well, they said they wanted to when he first got called up for a couple of weeks because they're playing like 16 games in 16 days or something. So they wanted to keep it stretched out for the boys. Obviously, time will tell. We could get completely bamboozled by the time it's his turn to throw. Who knows? But for now, he's scheduled to pitch next week against the Angels. Yes.
Okay. I would target that. I think Brandon Walters, Walter Brandon, is pretty good.
There you go. Walter White. Yes, I think it's a good one indeed. Speaking of the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, they have four in the Bronx and then three at home versus the Astros. Three lefties and four righties. Angels team with a guy like Joe Adell, who's starting to crush baseballs, but thank God he's finally widely rostered. Oh, he's only 80%. There's still 20% of leagues out there watching him. But yeah, it's a team that's swinging it better, but still not like elite by any means.
It is a tough, it's a 19% strikeout minus walk going against the Angels. So not the easiest schedule out there. We talked about Christian Moore at the top. Let's see how much he plays at second base this weekend, and we can adjust our fab bids accordingly. I wanted to throw out Reed Detmers.
Dude.
Reed Detmers, yes. I did not even know this. He's 11 scoreless innings and with 18 strikeouts.
I've started him the last couple of weeks in my DCs.
What?
Because of injuries and just seeing how good he's throwing, I'm like, screw it. Yeah, let's roll.
I guess. It's worked out for you, so I can't knock you too much. But I do think, like, if I don't know how much trade value Kenley Jansen actually has this year, but if the Angels find a suitor for Kenley Jansen, it might, and it makes sense that Reed Detmers can carve out a nice little bullpen role for himself and could be the plan B right now behind Kenley Jansen in Anaheim. That snuck up on me.
Yeah, he could be the plan B. Ron Washington's already out there saying, oh, when Detmers joins the rotation, I'm like, just leave him in the bullpen right now, homie.
Why?
Right. Yeah. But to your Jansen point, like, as an Angel, yes, you want to trade him. I get that. At the same time, I'm guessing he has a no-trade clause, so he's not going anywhere to, you know, set up a pitcher. That's the catch.
Right. So. Yeah, so I just don't know how feasible it is to trade him to a contender. Seemingly will have other like Felix Bautista. Granted, you have to give up more to get him, but yeah, I don't know.
Yep, totally agree with you. I see where you're coming from on that one. Last thing I want to mention is Scott Burks, resident Angels fan, mentions Kikuchi 1.04 ERA and a 1.25 WHIP at home this season. So he's crushing us overall. But if you stream the home starts like Ryan did this week, you're doing well.
I'm not going to invent victory lap, but yeah, we got one more start this week, boys.
Who's it against? Out of curiosity, I can't remember.
Do I even want to know?
I'll check right now. I have his handy dandy sheet in front of me.
It's
Baltimore.
No, it's Baltimore. Yeah, it's at Baltimore. That's a good matchup.
It's on the road. That goes against everything we just talked about.
That is. That's true. That's on the road. So I don't know. We'll see.
All right. The Seattle Mariners, they have six games this week, three at home versus Boston, three at Wrigley Field, which I just always love saying at Wrigley Field. It's two lefties, four righties for Seattle, a team that Luke Rayleigh is starting a rehab assignment on Thursday, so he might come back towards the end. He's been out since late April, though, so he's going to need some time to ramp back up. What do you like here with Seattle?
I don't see much on the hitting side to add. What's the latest on Gilbert? I think he's going to be back this week.
I think he has one more rehab start this weekend, and then he's coming back. Not 100%. I haven't seen anything in a couple of days, but yeah. I think they wanted to get one more start out of him. But he looked really good in his last one, so maybe not. Like, it's kind of an intermittent point, I guess. I don't know the right word, what I'm trying to say, but
inflection point.
Maybe an inflection point. There you go. Yes, big vocabulary caveman doesn't have. But if he comes back, he's scheduled for a two-step this week, but.
Right, Fangraphs, and RotoWire have him for Monday, but who knows? So anyway, Logan Evans would most likely be sent back down when Gilbert comes back. But hitting wise, Luke Rayleigh call is good. Keep an eye on that. Like, the bottom half of this lineup is rough. Cole Young, at least for right now, is not it. Ben Williamson, like, you got to be pretty desperate at corner. Master Boney, yeah. So it's It's a Jekyll and Hyde lineup in Seattle. The top 5-6 pretty good, and then it goes to nothing.
Agreed. Rounding out the American League, the Texas Rangers, they have three at home versus Kansas City, three at the Pittsburgh Pirates. two lefties and four righties on the docket for Texas, a team that Evan Carter is just looking great all of a sudden. His team's playing really well, but fantasy-wise, what are we looking at?
Eat my words a little bit this week with Evan Carter. Looking damn good. But again, it's a four-game right-handed week for Texas, so you're only going to get four starts out of Evan Carter next week. He could very well make good use of them, but that's part of the deal with Evan Carter. I don't really have much else. I saw a bunch of complaining yesterday or today about how the Rangers scored, 13, 16 runs, and Corey Seager didn't get a hit.
Doesn't surprise me. I wrote about, he was a faller in my Risers and Fallers column this week. It's been bad, really bad.
I didn't realize how bad it's been. 243, six home runs, and we all know no steals. That's 12 RBI. 12! Yep. Corey Seager, Jesus.
I just want to point something out for hitting-wise. Josh H. Smith is leading off, and he sits first lefties, so that could be a problem. But dude's raking right now. He's hitting 279, six homers, eight steals. There's something there to keep an eye on. I'll say that much. And then I would be wrong if I didn't mention it, but picked up a win on Thursday. That's Patrick Corbin, who has the second best schedule on the starting pitching planner right now as he gets he had Minnesota, so this hasn't been updated. But next week it's the Royals, and then he gets a two-step the following week against Baltimore and Seattle, which are great matchups in themselves. So Patrick Corbin, just going to say it, pretty good still. Pretty good streaming situation. You can't even knock it. It's in the number. It's you created the sheet.
I did, and you are correct. Patrick Corbin is like the number two easiest schedule on the weekly planner right now. it's just unbelievable. Corbin had six base runners in the first two innings today. Bases loaded in the second inning, no outs. Oh, like I'm actively rooting. I have nothing against Patrick Corbin. Nice guy. I think from upstate New York. I have nothing against him. I'm rooting against him. This needs to end.
You want to shut me up so bad?
Yes.
That's what this comes down to. Yes.
All right. Pat says, is there a reason everyone calls him Josh H. Smith instead of Josh Smith? I don't know.
Because there was a section of the season like a year or two ago where the Fangraphs, everything changed to Josh H. Smith. And now it's just kind of like a running joke at this point. So, yeah.
Tristan H. Cockcroft. I don't know. You got to, if they want their name said a certain way, we will oblige.
To each their own. All right, let's head to the National League here. The Atlanta Braves, they have six games this week, three at home versus the Mets, three at the Miami Marlins, one lefty and five righties for the Braves. But overall, a team that we know what we're going to get in this situation.
What do you think about – so, agreed. What do you think about a Jurickson Profar stash?
I get the question. It makes a ton of sense because he's started in a rehab assignment, or quote-unquote rehab assignment, however you want to say that. He's allowed back in like 16 days, something like games.
Yeah, I should
like
have that. Provided that context leading up. Yeah, he's due back, like late June.
So I get it. I'm always kind of wary on guys coming back from the steroids on how that goes, but it wasn't an injury. So I get it. And probably means the end of the Eli White run is what that comes down to. So I think it's a fair point. Jerickson Profar is only 5% rostered in 12s. I would say if you can stash a guy, it's a good time to stash a guy, yes.
I think I am on board with the Jerickson Profar stash right now. I think you can sneak him in this week for a buck. I think since, like you said, it's not injury. That's not to say like Jerickson Profar is going to go right back to the guy he was last year. I'm not saying that. I just think you could get a pretty good, like I was pretty high on Jerickson Profar at the price this draft season. I think you get someone pretty good for very cheap, and you can do it this weekend if you have enough spots to stash. So.
Yep. I can see it. I'll say that much. I can definitely see it. Did you end up joining the Bryce Elder gang this past week? He's up to 72% rostered.
I did not. I'm very curious to see how that road Rockies. Is that Friday?
It's Rocky tomorrow. He's in the matchups column. He's one of the higher rated pitchers according to Baseball HQ. So yes, it's a great matchup as you'd expect. Let's put it that way. So.
I did not go for much Bryce Elder, but he was, I don't want to say expensive, but he kind of was for Bryce Elder.
For Bryce Elder, yes, he was. He was up there for sure. He's one of the most added players last week. There's a lot of people riding on that Rocky start, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
A lot of people riding on that start. The Miami Marlins, they have seven games this week, all at home. Four against Philadelphia, three against the Atlanta Braves, four lefties, three righties. So hitting-wise, that just sucks. Are you getting it on Eury Pérez?
That's who I was going to highlight to talk about. Didn't look that sharp, understandably, his first start back. And I mean, I think I mentioned this on the show last week. I'm not going to spend a bunch of money on someone coming off this long of a layoff. I just think it's going to be kind of a learning curve the rest of this season to get back to what Eury Pérez was. I may be very interested next year, but I don't think I'm going to go very strong in Fab this week.
Yeah, it's a trend we've seen a ton this year. Pretty much all these TJ guys have struggled to put it together this year. He also gets the Braves this week and then the Diamondbacks next week. So not starts you want to throw him probably anyways. So yeah, right. I'd wait on Eury for sure. New York Mets, they have six games coming up this week, three at Atlanta, three at Philadelphia, one lefty, five righties. Jeff McNeil has found the fountain of youth of late. So that seems like the main target at this point in time.
Like, do you believe in it, though?
Oh, not a chance. Not a chance. But
four,
hey,
you ride it. Five games, I think.
Hey, you ride it like you rode Javi Baez and you jump off the second you can. So I have no problem. It's a tough set of matchups, though. They have one of the harder hitting schedules the entire week.
Just randomly, Jeff McNeil spiking the highest barrel rate of his career. Granted, it's 5.8%. So it's six barrels on six homers. So yeah, no, as I'm perusing Jeff McNeil's stat line, if you take him, you are wishing you could have taken his stats this past week, and that's not going to happen. So only other deal I had on the Mets was Montas. So we mentioned that at the top of the Senga injury.
Yep, do what you can there. If he's available, he might not even be available in your NFBC leagues just yet. Philadelphia Phillies, they have seven games this week, four at Miami, which is always a great schedule, and then three at home versus the Mets, one lefty, six righties, but I'll let you say it, Ryan. What do we usually say about Philadelphia's offense?
I don't know.
It's usually the same guys every time, so it doesn't matter.
I thought we had like a term or something that I was like,
no, they're not the line change.
Yeah, I was like, no.
Sorry.
Like, am I missing a keyword?
Sorry. No,
it's all good. Yeah, there's nothing really here. Are you
Otto Kemp?
the other bus driver, the sub.
Yes,
bus driver. Andrew Painter, I guess, is just a name I was going to throw out. Like, starting to get buzz on him, possibly returning July-ish. So, I think too early to stash. And again, may not be available even in NFBC leagues, but just a name to keep an eye on. If this Mick Abel experience doesn't turn out, and if Aaron Nola keeps,
are you dropping Aaron Nola yet, or how's that going?
Oh, yeah, I had to ask.
You mentioned his name, so I waited.
I'm not yet, but it's a fair question. I think in 12s I might. I actually don't have much Nola. This may surprise you, Bubba. I have him in the listener league, which is a 15 teamer. I'm holding on to him there.
Yeah, at 12 it's getting trickier. It's getting much trickier there.
There's really no timetable, right? Like,
no timetable, and every time it seems like something good's about to happen, like you just take one step forward, three steps back, that thing. So it's getting tricky in the Aaron Nola front. All right, the Washington Nationals, they have seven games this week, four at home versus Colorado, three at the Dodgers. The second best hitting slate of the week here. Three lefties, four righties, makes it a little tougher to stream against, though.
Yeah, and this is a pretty big line change team as well. So you don't like to see that, especially in a seven-game week. You want all or nothing there. So I don't know. Like, Josh Bell's been hitting well, but he has not started regularly against lefties. So maybe you get five starts from Josh Bell. Actually, Josh Bell hasn't really even been hitting. I think I just want Josh Bell to hit well.
He was hitting good for like 2 weeks. It's cooled off again.
Yeah, okay. Since I picked him up. I don't see anything here.
What about Mike Soroka, two-step Colorado and then at the Dodgers?
He got regression monster, didn't he?
Yes, he did. But like, his underlying, it's the old underlying metrics look way better than the production. Do we believe it type thing? He's one of them.
I mean, so you could throw, yeah, you definitely throw Soroka next week. Colorado.
Well, it's Colorado, but it's also Colorado at the Dodgers to two-step.
Nah, it is. Yeah, it is. You're right. I got my dates mixed up. I think you throw it.
Yeah, I think so too. But
Skills have been pretty good.
So. I agree. I'm a fan. I'm a believer. So I guess we'll see where that goes when things are all said and done. All right, Chicago Cubs, 6 games this week, all at the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. 3 against Milwaukee, 3 against Seattle, all right-handed pitchers to top it off. But it doesn't matter because they're all rostered.
It really doesn't. Like, I'm not going to say Michael Bush, even though.
He's 100% rostered.
No, I just did,
I just looked too. I was like, yeah, maybe. Nope.
I don't see anything hitting-wise. It was interesting. On Thursday, Daniel Palencia pitched the 8th against the, you know, they played 3-4. Pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah, against the
2-3-4 though. So
yeah, faced the 2-3-4, and then Ryan Pressly got the save this evening. So I don't know if that's just a one-off or a matchup type thing, but if Ryan Pressly starts pitching well in the 9th again, who's to say he can't get the job back? That would really suck because we both have a good amount of Palencia.
Well, and Porter Hodge is set to start a rehab assignment too, so he'll be back maybe within a week. So things might get real interesting in that Cubs pen. But the fact Palencia faced 2-3-4, I'm going to go with the old leverage situation.
I think so too, and pitched well. He got 1-2-3. He's got a strikeout. Like I don't know. I think he's good.
I think he's very good, very good. So. I'll ask the question. Obviously, in 15s, it's a no. But in 12s, are we dropping Ben Brown?
In 12s, I think you can. I actually watched a good amount of his start against the Phillies this week, and just it's typical Brent Brown. The stuff looked really good. The fastball was there. The knuckle curve looked good, but like the command is just it's touch and go. So there might be starts where the command is on, and you're like, damn, I'm missing out. But then more often than not, you're getting that version of Ben Brown. So yeah, in 12s, I think you can. You can entertain dropping Ben Brown. In 15s, I'm still holding on. The strikeouts are really nice.
And I wanted to mention that as well because Shota is expected to be back towards the end of next week.
Okay, that's right.
May get one. He's throwing a rehab start this weekend. May throw one more rehab start, or he'll be back in rotation towards the end of next week. So that could be the end of Ben Brown as well.
Yeah, because I could see the Cubs using Brown as like a long as their long man. They used him as a follower already, so I could see that.
Yep. Cincinnati Reds, 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Minnesota, 3 at St. Louis, 1 lefty, 5 righties. The 3 Great American Small Park games are all righty. So Will Benson's back in play.
Will Benson's back. My guy homered this week, Fraley.
Yes, he did. Yes, your boy did.
So, I mean, I would honestly consider Jake Fraley. It's a good schedule.
Of course you would.
It's a good schedule, man.
It is. I'm not saying you would, but if I know, of course, it's like you, Mount Massey, Jake Fraley. Which one do you like more?
Mount Massey, cooler nickname. Yeah, I don't even have a nickname for Jake Fraley, but
yeah, Jake Fraielli. Yeah, continue with what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Noelvi Marte is one I'm going to throw out there. I think scheduled or the plan is for Noelvi Marte to come back on like June 20th. What I saw in our Discord, so we'll see.
He still has to undergo another MRI before he even starts a rehab assignment. So I think 20th is the
wait. What?
Yeah. That's what
then the why they put it. Then why they do a target of June 20th?
Because that's what Yahoo's AI did. Because if you read the blurb, it says he has to undergo an MRI and then go on a rehab assignment. I think best case scenario is June 20th.
Well, I didn't read the whole blurb. Obviously, I just read I'm June.
Well aware.
I'm telling you, man, this was my New Year's resolution, was reading comprehension. I obviously read your column because I screenshotted the Freddie Freeman thing in the Discord, and I just have no recollection of the rest of what I read.
That's me too, and that's why I need AI to read it to me. But Noelvi could be back in like a couple weeks.
He ain't coming back June 20th.
If he does, it'd be a hell of a recovery, yes.
All right, so scratch what I just said.
Nah, you can still stash him. Like, would you rather stash Noelvi or Profar?
Noelvi. Yeah, Noelvi.
So, yeah, it's still a fair point you're bringing
up. Yeah, that's true. Like, that's true. Because, I mean, Noelvi was hitting. I mean, he was hitting well before the injury. So,
because you want to stash him now because if, say, Saturday report comes back, he's starting to rehab assignment on Monday, well, then everyone's like, so you want to get on that now before things escalate even more so. So, yes, you are in play there. Pat Monahan asks about Austin Hayes. Austin Hayes is having some issues with the foot, folks. So that one's he's one step forward, two steps back with him. He could be back next week, but I'd be shocked. Let's put it that way.
Agreed. Yep.
I think that's about it for Cincinnati pitching staff. You have Andrew Abbott, which is wild, but other than that, they're pretty. What are you doing? It's still Pagan show, but Santin has been getting a save here and there, so keep that in mind, I guess. But
yeah.
Not a whole lot else. Milwaukee Brewers, they have six games this week, three at Wrigley, three at the Twins, one lefty, five righties for the Brew Crew. Obviously, the young gun's going to be the topic of conversation.
Yes, I had Mizrowski as the one to talk about here, but we hit that one at the top as we should. This is another team that this is like the Phillies of the NL Central. There's just not many moving parts, and like the bad ones are bad. The good ones are rostered, so I don't see anything fab-wise for the Brew Crew.
I'm glad Yelich came back and played on Thursday. That made me feel a little better. We'll see how that goes.
That was a wrist, right?
Yes, and it sounded worse than apparently it is because he came back and played on Thursday, so that makes me feel better. I'll do my typical weekly. Abner Uribe is very good, and he should close games if he's Miguel's out of the way. So if you want to throw the Orioles situation out there, Milwaukee's in that mix as well. All right, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they have six games this week, three at Detroit, three at home versus Texas, one lefty, five righties. What do you got for the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Not much. I was going to say Spencer Horowitz, but that's been a Spencer horror show.
Yes. Well done.
So can't recommend that. Honestly, the thing I want to talk about with the Pirates is when we've started to get whispers of this in our Discord is Bubba Chandler. Like you've held him all this time and like, it's just doesn't seem like a call up is imminent. And then now he's starting to have some walk issues in the minors, his last start or two. It's like, I don't know what to say. If you've been stashing Bubba Chandler this whole year, I think you still hold on, but I don't know, man.
I'm still holding it. It's gone this far. I'm stubborn and he did walk a lot of guys in his last start, but man, the dude's been so good. I don't know what they're doing. He's almost at his freaking inning limit, it feels like. Like I think it was you that said it the other night. It feels like they're just going to wait till September now. So he's still a rookie for next year, which would be just a disaster to all things. But
would the Pirates not? I mean, I don't like they should do that, I guess.
At this point, yes. At this point, yes.
So I thought he'd be up in May. I thought it would be the Skeens timeline. Obviously, I was wrong on that.
Unfortunately, it wasn't you. That was pretty much the consensus in draft season. And it made sense. Made a ton of sense at the time. I'll keep mentioning IKF, hits for average. Like he's a pretty solid multi-position player, especially in deeper formats. Don't hate him. And Bailey Falter, another good schedule this week. It's at Detroit versus Texas. I know Detroit's getting better, but Falter's in deep league. The 15s at least. He's very serviceable.
Yeah, I can't go there, but the schedule's not like the Detroit start scares the hell out of me. But
I get it. Labor Torres does that to me as well. The St. Louis Cardinals, they have six games this week, three at the O's, so lovely Chicago White Sox, and then three at home versus Cincinnati, one of the best hitting schedule this week goes to the Cardinals, but it's two lefties and four righties. So what do you like here?
I don't see anything I like, I don't think.
No, there's nothing.
I mean, so I'll just to fill some air, let's do a quick Mason Wynn stolen base update. The path to 30. We've got, let's see, let me pull up his page. We've got three steals on the year, Bubba. It's pretty good. Five. Yeah, he's been caught five times.
Hey, so it means he's trying. He's trying. Ryan. that's the way I look at it. And since you wanted to make a scene out of this, let's look up the, season long bet we have going here as I scroll through shortstop. Where is Bichette? Bichette is 12th overall and Mason Wynn is 19th. So you have a lead going right now, Ryan. You have a lead.
I'm not going to get too cocky with it though. Things can change.
The one thing I will mention, and we will know more on Friday, Brendan Donovan is out with a toe injury. He's supposed to take batting practice on Friday. Based on how the batting practice goes, the Cardinals will decide if an IL stint is necessary or just a few more days off. In that vein, Nolan Gorman is playing every day at second base. For the schedule as good as it is, it is a ton of power to stream next week. So I want to bring up Nolan Gorman as a potential stream if Brendan Donovan misses time.
Good call. I like that. Nolan Gorman's still only 25.
He's super young. Yeah.
Did not realize that. Yeah, you're gonna get strikeouts with Nolan Gorman, but I like that. I like that call. That could work out if the Donovan thing is something.
Yep. So keep an eye on that news, and we'll keep you up to date in the Discord with that one. All right, to the NL West, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have three games at Toronto, three games in Coors Field, three lefties, three righties on the week. Coors Field is two lefties, one righty. What are you liking with Arizona?
Not much. I think even if this was a big righty week for Arizona, I'm kind of ready to pull the plug on Pavin Smith.
He was in my drop list this past week, yes.
Okay. Like, it's just
he hit a home run this week, so it's only fitting.
I must have missed that. Damn.
Yeah. We all did, because he hasn't done it all season, it feels like.
Yeah. Pavin Smith. Yeah, we were both really like, we thought he could be this year's jock. Yeah, yeah. Five home runs with a 30% strikeout rate. Like, he's hitting .277, but that's very fortunate to even be there. So
yeah, the power we saw last year is non-existent right now. It's crazy.
Agreed. So
what I will mention, and I hate to say it, if you wanted to stream for Coors for two lefties, one righty, are we going Randall Grichuk for the weekend?
Good pull. Yeah, that's a nice pull. Because, yeah, it's Gomber. Well, it's my guy Freeland. So, no, you can't start anyone against Kyle Freeland.
God.
No, I do like if you're in it, it's really a deep league play. Like, I don't know if you pick up Randall Grichuk just for a half week, but I mean, that is some 4D chess. I like that. He could be in for a big weekend next week, and that core is two lefties. Yep.
For those that spend all that money on prospects that needs to get dollar picks, that is the 4D chess you must play the rest of the season, by the way.
Yeah, that's going to be me. It's going to be me in labor. I've got like $24 left, and there's no $0 bids.
Yeah, so that'll be the moves you'll be making. Problem is, in labor, you have to play them the whole week.
Not you have just to play them the whole week, so it's tricky.
Kind of a bummer. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, the Colorado Rockies, they have seven games this week, four at the Nationals. It's a pretty friendly schedule. And then three at home versus Arizona, one lefty, six righties for Colorado. But it's a Colorado team that don't have a whole lot of interest, except there's one guy that you mentioned that you'll probably say at least deep league, right?
I mean, I'm going to say Tyro Estrada. Is that who you're saying?
Nope, that's not who I thought. I agree with Tyro Estrada. Yeah.
So I wasn't even going to mention Tyro, but he's still only 54% rostered in 12 teamers.
And hitting cleanup.
He looks good.
Man. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. He's always looked good. So. I figured you'd mention Tyler Freeman.
Oh, yes. Good call. Probably should have mentioned Tyler Freeman, though. Did not play on Thursday, but that was his first day off in at least a week. So Tyler Freeman, I do like. This was brought up in our Discord as well. I could talk about the Discord all day. It's been freaking great this year. But one of our posters brought up that, like, no one was really talking about Tyler Freeman. I think it's a fair point, especially in weeks where, or even half weeks where Colorado is at home. I think Tyler Freeman is, like, honestly, a solid batting average source who runs and has, I don't want to even say league average power, but like has some pop. So yeah, Tyler Freeman this week is definitely startable, I would say. Because even like the Nationals Road Series, it's Irvin, Soroka, Parker, and Williams. Like, not exactly a murderer's row in terms of who they're facing.
Yep, very good schedule for the Rockies. If they're ever going to have a good week for you, this is potentially the one, if they're ever going to do it. So I like the Tyro call quite a bit. And for those that do care about Austin Gomber, which you probably shouldn't at this point in time, he's coming off the IL to make a season debut on Sunday against the Braves this weekend. So,
is he? Oh, gosh.
Yes. All right, Los Angeles Dodgers. They have seven games this week, four against the Padres, which is another great series to watch, and three against the Nationals, one lefty, six righties. It looks like Ha-Sung Kim is starting to maybe play a little more often.
Yeah, four starts in the last six between second base and center field. I like that. It is a free Ha-Sung Kim edition of the show. Like, if he can play every day, that is beautiful. Obviously, like other lefties, Max Muncy, the 10 man, buckle up. What else do I have on the Dodgers? I think that's it. Emmett Sheehan, I've mentioned before. I haven't heard the latest on him, but he might be back soon.
I think he ramped up to four innings. He had a rehab start on Thursday, I'm pretty sure. I saw a tweet. Give me like 1 second and I'll pull it up. What are your thoughts on Ben Kasperius getting put into the rotation?
I'm a
Kasperius fan.
I like that a lot because I do think, unlike with most teams, even if you go five, the chances of getting a win is very low. The Dodgers are the exception to that rule. So I do think Ben Kasperius, if he gets stretched out enough and the stuff translates well enough, I think it will, because he hasn't been that far off from being able to pitch five in the past. So I like the Kasperius call quite a bit.
Emmett Sheehan at AAA on Thursday evening, 3 1/3 innings, 4 earned runs, 6 hits, no walks, 7 strikeouts. At a 41% CSW on 63 pitches, so it's at least one more rehab start before we see him at Sheehan.
Okay,
but he's close.
Encouraging start. Yep. Too, I guess.
Close to your point, indeed. One other thing: what are you taking any shots on some other relievers in that bullpen?
I don't know. I mean, I swore off trying to figure out.
Oh, I'm with you. I gave it up too.
Outside of Tanner Scott, like, I still feel like it's a Tanner Scott 60% and then like four other dudes 10%. So no, I'm not trying to figure this thing out.
All right. So I wanted to bring that up for a split second. San Diego Padres, they have 7 games this week, 4 at the Dodgers, 3 at home versus the Royals, 3 lefties, 4 righties. 2 of the 3 lefties are over the weekend against Kansas City. If that does anything for you. What are your thoughts on San Diego, who is pretty much the same team every single day?
Right, with the exception of like a Tyler Wade platoon and catcher. So don't see anything there. Bullpen's pretty locked in. And I don't know, is Yu Darvish? We talked about the Michael King experience on Tuesday. Good
Lord.
That's disturbing. I guess you have to hold on to King. I think I only have King in IL League, so it's easy, but that's been tough. Back end of that rotation is pretty rough right now with Randy Vasquez, Colek, and Ryan Burgert. Not great. Colek's pitched okay, but like the skills are eh.
Yeah, they need some help, that's for sure. But Darvish sound things close, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, the San Francisco Giants round us out as usual. 6 games this week, all at home. 3 versus Cleveland. 3 versus the Red Sox, 1 lefty, 5 righties, like the third easiest schedule on the week on paper. So where are you going with this one? Because late night Lamont's gone. You can't just throw that one out there. Yaz is heating up a little bit, but I still don't know if I trust him fully. So not overly excited about offensive options here.
No. Dom Smith had a day.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. He's enjoying that 1+ months of potential playing time before he gets sidetracked by a AAA stud.
And that fresh Colorado air as well.
It helps. Also, so Willy Adames enjoyed that fresh Colorado air too.
Yeah, that was good to see, wasn't it? That was very good.
God, if he can just carry that confidence over, big man. Carry that confidence, please.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. What's up with Verlander? I thought he was supposed to come back this week.
Dude, he was throwing a bullpen on Wednesday in Colorado, and I honestly haven't seen any results from that because he kept getting setbacks from his injury. So that's what's kept Harrison in the rotation. So he's expected back next week. But like I said, we haven't really got, like, I'm searching again for it and I'm not seeing anything since he threw that bullpen. It's been pretty hush hush on that one.
And who would he boot? Birdsong?
Likely Kyle Harrison, most likely.
Oh, Harrison. Yeah, that's right. Harrison, not Birdsong. That makes sense.
Yeah. He threw a sim game on Wednesday, but there's been nothing else backing that up at all. So no idea.
Okay. From the bad timing department, Randy Rodriguez got a rare save opportunity today. Yeah. And I'm not just saying this to rub it in, but did not convert. I think there were 2 unearned runs. I think he gave up 3 and 1 was earned. I didn't watch it, but it just sucks that with Camilo Duvall unavailable, had thrown 20+ pitches the 2 days prior. Randy Rodriguez couldn't get it done today. And Ryan Walker pitched the 8th. In front of Randy Rodriguez, right? So,
I don't know. I agree. Yes, Pat, we care about Eldridge if he gets called up. We talked about that a lot last week. That is a dude, if you can stash him, I think he's up around the All-Star break, or right after the All-Star break would be my assumption on that one.
And that's not because of playing time shenanigans. It's just sheerly getting him ready.
Yes, that's what I think it is, because he started in Double-A. He went all the way through Triple-A into the AFL last year and crushed everything. So, kind of had an injury to start the year, started at Double-A, got called up to Triple-A, already hit a grand slam and swinging it well. So I think it's more just getting ready for the whole cha-cha is what it feels like.
Let me put it bring them up, man. The Giants are in it. They need to be aggressive. They need to do this.
Don't have to preach to me on that one. That's for damn sure. All right. That's all 30 teams through the schedules. Let's go to the top free agent risers and fallers, Ryan, and see what we maybe missed this past on this show.
All right. Can you see it on the screen? Okay.
Yep. Yep.
All
yep.
right. All right, biggest free agent riser. What? Alejandro Kirk in
He's destroying baseballs.
He is destroying baseballs. So yeah, it's probably more of like a single catcher Fantrax league where you're kind of streaming your single catcher. So I get that.
Yeah, he's 97% in NFPC, so that was not an option to say the least, but totally get it right here. Cuz I was going to bring him up and I looked at him like, "Yeah, it's not going to work." So yes.
You've got Joe Adell, number two. We brought him up again, pretty much widely picked up last week in a lot of the leagues that we play in. Abraham Toro, your guy.
There he is, my guy.
Yep. Up to 28% in Fantrax, up 6% this week. The nice thing about this free agent riser thing is you get a nice little dashboard look at the skills. And yeah, really good strikeout rate for Toro with the 7% barrel. Like, that's not nothing. So I don't know. I guess I'll finally come around on this guy now that I've missed the best of Abraham Toro.
Goes to Sacramento, so enjoy it.
Jeff McNeil, up 5%. Neither of us are on board with that. No. Evan Carter. I'm surprised to see Evan Carter's ownership in Fantrax, since there's a lot of dynasty keeper leagues. That's only at 68%. But that's up 4%. Look at the skills with Evan Carter.
Yeah.
Somewhere Ben Tidd is smiling here, because Tidd's a big Carter guy and I'm not. But at least so far, 60 plate appearances, but a 17% K, 11% barrel, and he's attempting to steal 31% of the time. That's all green on this top riser list. So despite the platoon, Evan Carter is looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, DJ LeMahieu, I wouldn't read too much into that, but your boy Tyler Freeman is right there.
There we go. Look at that.
9% K rate, 27% stolen base attempt rate. That'll play.
Projected to hit 290 by the bat. Cardi.
And then your boy Max Muncy is right there, who projections don't like him as much, but 31% K rate, not ideal, but he's getting stuff done at this point in time. And you're right for sure. That's a name we forgot to mention, Dominic Canzone with Seattle.
Yeah, good call.
This is why I like doing this review when we go through this, for this exact reason, because I had him, like, I wrote him down when he got called up, for crying out loud. I didn't even talk about him today. The two lefties, four righties on tap for Seattle this week. Canzone has been swinging it really well at AAA this season. He already has a homer and a steal this week for Seattle. So that would be a guy I would definitely have on my radar.
Yeah, I should not have missed that one. But good call.
You, the Mariners guy. That's true.
No, that's a great call and widely available. 4% of Fantrax leagues. So CES is on here, but
he was picked up everywhere last week. He's gone.
Much to your chagrin.
Yes, that one stings so much, but I digress. All right, let's talk pitchers. What do we have on the pitch? Because this is usually a bunch of streamers / relievers. A little tougher for what we're going with, but there's a few names at the top. Oh, Shelby Miller we didn't mention either. Closer for Arizona.
Yeah, why did we not?
We're on our A game right now. Yeah.
No, not at all. It's been a week for one of us.
Yeah, for me for sure.
Number one pitching riser by far is Jacob Mizrowski, for obvious reasons. I think we're both bidding, but I don't think we're either going to get him, but we'll see. I think he'll be expensive. Bryce Elder rising. I think just Fantrax folks picking up on the Colorado start this week. And again, the reason why we're using Fantrax is Fantrax has a lot of daily moves leagues. So what we're looking at is the free agent movement from this week, from Monday to Thursday. So who's rising like these past 3 days? I think it's just a nice little way to identify guys for the week ahead. Here's that Grant Taylor guy. He's up 6% to 30%. He's throwing one inning.
He's nasty stuff. People get excited with that high velocity closer profile on a team that needs a closer. That's the appeal.
Shouldn't poo-poo it, but like the White Sox have like 23 wins all year. I get it.
Shelby Miller's 49% rostered in OC, so 51% of your leagues have him available for this weekend's heavy bidding.
Right, and so like I would be aggressive with Shelby Miller. The only threat, I think, because Shelby Miller's pitched pretty well, the only threat is AJ Puck comes back and takes the job. But I still think even if Puck comes back and is healthy, I still think it's at least a share. Shelby Miller's pitched too well for them to just totally boot him from the ninth. So I think Shelby Miller's the clear reliever target this week.
And Puck's still like at least a month away. Like it's not like it's coming tomorrow. So Shelby will get a good run to either strengthen his hold on the position or give them a reason to get rid of him anyways.
Reed Detmers. Reed Detmers. I just can't believe Reed Detmers is on this.
Dude, he's filthy in the bullpen. Filthy.
So potential spec if Kenley. Like I don't. Well, you said you're starting him in draft and holds. Like some, in some draft and holds, you have no other choice.
Pretty much, yes.
I don't.
Think I started Alex Vesia this last week and got a save out of nowhere. So yes, that's where we're at. God.
Yeah. We've got the Priest up next. Quinn Priester up 4%. I think had a pretty decent schedule.
Well, what's working great for him is they're using an opener, and he has been very, very serviceable behind that. Like, I'll pull up his numbers real quick to give some context to this, but I know our buddy the Guilds ran the two-step this week with him, but, like, he threw six innings, one and run, seven Ks against Atlanta. In Great American, five innings, one run, four Ks. At Philadelphia, six innings, two earned. At Pittsburgh, six innings, one earned, three earned, one earned, one earned. He's been pretty solid over his last like seven outings. Strikeouts are up and down though. It's only seven Ks twice, is three or less basically every other time.
Yep.
So strikeouts are a concern, but he's ratio wise not crushing you right now.
Yeah. Skills are not great, but serviceable, like as a back end streamer in the right matchup. So all right. I'll buy it. Logan Evans, he's gonna get sent back down when Gilbert returns. Mitch Spence is a riser.
He had a good start this last week, but they're going to Sacramento, so you can sayonara that one.
Yeah,
it can be at someone else's expense.
Well done. Well done. Much better than whatever you tried earlier, Jake Fraley. Oh. You've got Chad Patrick. Patrick Chad rising up 3%. But any other names? Jake Bird's pitched well.
Yeah, Soroka. Bednar still somehow available. Will Vest somehow.
Yeah, Vest has gotten like the lion's share of saves for Detroit.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Give Ben Titt a little love there because he was in that week with like the four closers. He went heavy on Vest, and there's a lot of people saying that was a bad idea. And that was panning out right now.
So far, looking good. Skills look really good for Will Vest. So kudos to Mr. Tidd. I think we covered other guys. I think we covered the rest of these guys are 1%. Up 1%.
I'll mention, scroll back down real quick. I want to mention one because you mentioned Scherzer. Right below Scherzer there is Joe Boyle, who is destroying AAA pitching, and he's not walking, guys. That's a profile with the shakiness of Boz and company with some of those starters there. Joe Boyle is going to get his chance sooner or later, hopefully. Like, I had him stashed for a bit, and I had to drop him for other injuries. The skills are insane. He's really, really good. It's just a matter of when the Rays give him a shot.
Right, because like they're not going to roll Shane Boz out there the rest of the season.
Exactly. Boz, even Pepio's had his injury history. Like there's a lot of questions in Tampa Bay. So Boyle's going to get his chance eventually, and his strikeout skills are off the chart. They've got 39% K rate right there. Walks are still a concern, but man, when you strike out almost 40% of the guys you face, I know it's AAA, but like he's filthy. He's absolutely filthy.
Yep, and the Rays have shown that they will at least call Joe Boyle up because they've already done it this year. So I like that call.
So I want to if we're talking stashes, like that's one I'm very interested in. All right, let's get to it. You ready to two-step it?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it. Arizona Diamondbacks out the gate. We get a tough one. Brandon Pfaadt.
Oh.
At Toronto. At Colorado.
They're at Coors. Oh, my God. This is...
It's a tough one right out the gate.
This is fascinating because that Toronto start scares me. I'm
doing it.
I guess. Oh, I'm nervous though.
Yeah, I'm doing it. We're rolling. If you can't start them this week, then you can just drop them because you want that cooler start. You might be dropping them after this week, but you could definitely do it. The A's, you have JT Jen potentially coming off the IL and JP Sears versus Houston versus Cleveland. I'm out. I like JT Jen.
Sears. I would think about Sears. He hasn't been that bad. Houston starts scares me.
5.08 ERA, not bad.
Yeah, Cato walks 14. Like, I mean, skills are okay.
Yeah, I'm out.
Houston starts scares me. Cleveland can't really hit lefties, so I'm probably out too. But I like the Cleveland start at least.
I'm just terrified of that ballpark. Absolutely terrified.
Yeah, no, that's another good point. Yeah, I guess I'm out.
It's summertime now, folks. Just be prepared for fireworks year-round. The Atlanta Braves, Grant Holmes versus the Mets at Miami. Yes.
Yeah, but yes.
Yes, you do. Zach Eflin and Dean Kramer at Tampa at the Yankees.
I would do Eflin. I would not roll the Dean out there.
Eflin in 15s for sure, 12s permitting. Let's put it that way.
Fair.
He has not looked like the Eflin we expected.
You know, school's out for summer. The Dean is not as effective in summertime. No, so.
Well played. Indeed, the Dean had actually the Dean pitched well on Thursday because he had Keegan Aiken open for him. So
I still wouldn't. Maybe Aiken gave up some runs.
I still wouldn't do it because of the Yankee start, but something to keep in mind for the future with Dean Kramer if they stick to that. Red Sox, Lucas Giolito at Seattle at the Giants. Giolito looked very good in his last start, horrible in his start before that. It's kind of been the trend this season.
Yeah, so I don't know how to predict this one. I think if you have Giolito, you do it in 15s, but
yes,
I don't know what you're going to get.
15s for sure. I'd probably start Eflin over Giolito in 12s, if that helps.
Agreed.
Cincinnati, Andrew Abbott at home against Minnesota, who can't hit lefties, and then goes to at St. Louis. My God. Yeah, you just pitch him again. That's unbelievable.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty much auto start right now.
Question for you. I know you've always been a Nick Lodolo guy. He has not looked phenomenal this season. He gets Minnesota this week. If he struggles against Minnesota, do you drop him before he faces the Yankees and the Padres next week, the following week?
Oh, that's right. The Yankee start would be Monday.
At home in Great American Small Park, yes.
God, that's scary.
It's a two-step Great American.
He better pitch well against Minnesota. I love Lodolo. So, I'm not dropping him. I'm not. The skills look still pretty good for him. So, no, I'm not.
Slade Ciccone at the Giants, at the A's. That's a yes for me.
At the A's is a yes, huh?
Yes, because that Giant and the strikeouts, yeah. The A's will strike out a ton.
True. Good point. Yep, I would roll with Ciccone.
Colorado, Kyle Freeland, your boy, at Washington, at home versus Arizona.
Ooh, dude, actually, it's not bad. I'm serious. 17th most favorable schedule.
I was going to ask, where's he at on the list? How far do I have to scroll to find him?
Not far. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I am not doing it either.
I'm not doing it in 15.
And you're not doing Sensatella either, folks.
No.
Burke, Chicago White Sox, Burke versus St. Louis at Toronto. That's
it. No. Burks. I'm like, no, I wouldn't start Burks against my T-ball team. I'm not doing Sean Burke.
Sean Burke. Casey Mize versus Pittsburgh at Tampa. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you were already in your thinking about okay.
No, it's just Mize hasn't looked that great since he's coming back. So that's the only hesitation I have there.
Fair enough. Lance McCullers at the A's, at the Angels. McCullers looked a little more human his last start.
Yeah. I feel like this is another one you just do not know what you're gonna get. You could get the 12K McCullers. You might not. The athletic start scares me. If you have McCullers, you believe in him, you're rolling with him. I'm not going to.
If you have McCullers, you probably spent a pretty penny on him, so you are starting him this week.
Right.
But I have no shares as well. Chris Bubich coming off a bad start versus the Yankees, but that happens. He gets at Texas and at San Diego this week.
Awesome schedule.
Yep.
All systems go.
Agreed. Angels, Jose Soriano and Kyle Hendricks at the Yankees versus Houston.
Maybe Soriano. No way on Hendricks.
Soriano in 15s, 12s again. It's in that Eflin Giolito tier.
I'd go with that. That Yankee start could not end well or start well.
Yeah. Robleski versus San Diego versus Washington. I'm just not a Robleski guy, so that's no.
I'm not either. Like, neither of those teams hit lefties well, but I could see it in 15s. There's win potential with LA. Yeah, I could see that.
If the Dodgers could just draft pitchers as well as they pay for pitchers, that would get them so, because their depth is atrociously bad in the minor leagues. It's crazy. Miami, Sandy versus Philadelphia versus Atlanta.
Yeah, I would do it. He's pitched better lately. Yep.
You got to give him a shot because he has pitched better, but man. Milwaukee, Chad Patrick at the Cubs, at the Twins.
No, I'm not. The Cubs are damn good. Twins against righties aren't bad.
Twins do hit righties. Yeah.
David
Festa at Cincinnati versus Milwaukee.
Let's go. All the way. We're in.
Not a chance.
Not a chance, dude. You're
a great American small park. Your boy Fraley's going to take him deep.
Ew, you might be right. I'm doing Festa. Yeah, of course. I picked him up.
Yeah, well, you got to do with that. That justifies it for sure. David Peterson at Atlanta, at Philadelphia.
Yes,
he's been awesome. So good. Yep. I forgot to text you the other day writing my matchups. I've somehow had his last two starts. He's been the highest rated pitchers both times on the sheet, and he throws the complete game shutout in his last start. Dude's a beast.
Shout out HQ.
Yeah, they've nailed him back-to-back times. Nice. Yankees, Clark Schmidt and Will Warren versus the Angels versus Baltimore. I think you're running them both.
Yes. Yep, both of them.
Philadelphia, Mick Abel and the newly reinvented Jesus Luzardo at Miami and versus the Mets.
Abel, I would do it in 15s for the Marlins start. The Mets one's tough. And yeah, Luzardo looks good again. I guess there was some pitch tipping grip issues with runners on base or something. But yeah, that was a very nice return start from Jesus Luzardo on most people's benches.
Totally agree on that one. Pirates, Bailey Falter at Detroit versus Texas. I'm in.
That's your guy, so I'm not gonna cross that.
It's been Ted's guy. San Diego Padres, Dylan Cease. Yes, definitely. Randy Vasquez, no. I need to tell you who he's facing.
Randy Vasquez is got to go to the Dodgers.
At Dodgers versus the Royals, like not a chance. I'm risking.
RIP.
Yeah, not happening. So for now, they have Logan Gilbert versus Boston at Chicago, but coming off the IL, I don't feel great about that.
But you're doing it. You're not benching two starts of Logan Gilbert.
Probably not, but man, I don't feel great about it. I'll say that much.
I'm doing it.
Robbie Ray versus Cleveland versus Boston.
Yeah, against anyone right now, I think.
All right, we have a couple more here. Cardinals, Liberatore at the White Sox versus Cincinnati.
It's a decent matchup, but like I don't know, Liberatore might not be right. So I think
he's hurt.
I do too. Like he may not make both these starts, but I think if he's still healthy, I guess you roll with it. But you may have better options.
Yeah, if he's healthy, you want that. Well, White Sox are hitting better too, but you kind of want these two starts. But yeah, I don't feel great about it. Like I wouldn't blame anybody for sitting him at all right now. Tampa Bay, you got Pepio and Lytle versus Baltimore versus Detroit. Pepio, yes. Lytle, no.
Pepio, yes. Lytle, you don't like Lytle at all.
No, 15. He's actually been really good. I should give him more credit than he gets. He's been very.
I mean, I've got him with some draft and holds, and I'm like relying on him, unfortunately. So yeah, I'm probably doing Lytle in 15s.
15s for sure. 12s, I just don't. I don't get the appeal in 12s, but.
Agreed. Not many Ks, like very low ceiling. Yep.
Jack Leiter versus Kansas City at Pittsburgh. He's struggled, but good set of matchups right here.
Yeah, decent stream, but Jack Leiter's been really bad. Like it's a 7% K to walk, 38% ball rate. Like he's not throwing strikes. I don't think I'd do it.
Yeah, it's not an automatic by any means. No. Chris Bassitt versus Arizona versus the White Sox.
Yeah, you roll with Seabass.
Yes, you do. Jake Irvin and Mike Soroka versus Colorado at the Dodgers.
No on Irvin. Soroka, probably.
Yep, I'm with you. No on Irvin. Yes on Soroka for that one. I'm a believer in the underlying metrics when it comes to Mr. Soroka. Okay. All right, my friends, another Fab episode in the book. Any final thoughts on Week 13 Fab?
No. I will reiterate, happy Father's Day to you. Hope you're doing something fun. Well. Hope I'm doing something fun. I don't know.
I hope I am too. Good point.
I haven't really thought about it, but happy Father's Day to you and to all the listeners out there. Enjoy the day and the celebration, however you do so at home.
Yep. Ditto to everybody out there and to you, my friend. I hope you get your U.S. Open time or quote unquote fab time on Sunday. Yeah. We'll see how that one shakes out for sure. And we'll be back with you guys as usual on Tuesday evening with a Bloom board and other goodies there. Make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast, at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Entrick, and this is Bubba in the Bloom, episode 251. Catch y'all next time.